the last topic in Yonei Raku and Shabbos, and that is the issue of medication in Shabbos. So we discussed Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, and we discussed the Halachas of Hudbin Bechuya, the doctors. We discussed a little bit about Choyle She'ein Basakana. Then there's a din about a Bori, a person who's healthy, it's not a Choyle. A Choyle means a person who's Nafal Mishka, a person who is not fully functional, or part of him is not fully functional. And Halachas of a Chole She'ein Basakana are, as we said, that Nachri is Mutter, Shine might be Mutter. But now we have another din, that's the din of not taking medication in Shabbos. This is one for care. Until now we've been discussing the coolness of Shabbos, in order to help a person who's either very, very sick or a little bit sick. Now we're discussing the chumrah, and that is that a person who is a healthy person, but he's very uncomfortable, but he's fully functional. So then the Gemara says that Chazal said it's prohibited to take any medication in Shabbos or any kind of medical therapy in Shabbos. And the Gemara says, because we're afraid that we'll come to Shechika Samavanim. The way this is usually understood is that in the time of the Gemara, most of the medications were herbal medications, and they required making herbal compounds. So if we're going to allow people to treat themselves in Shabbos and take medicine in Shabbos, so then they may come to actually do the maisa to isa tochein in Shabbos. If it's a person with a chole she'yesh basakon, he's allowed to do tochein in Shabbos. And if it's a chole she'ein basakon, so b'mokim tzar, I guess it goes with Rabbanon. Chazal did not make the Chazal for carrot. They wanted to be makel for a chole she'ein basakon in Shabbos. But if the person not a chole, he's not enough on the mishkav. It would be a Tuesday, he'd go to the office. If it's a Tuesday, he would have a full schedule. So now, and he would take some medicine to make himself feel better. So now it's Shabbos. So he's if he's again homebound, if he can't get out of bed, if he's enough, so then he should take medicine. But he isn't homebound. He can go to shul. He'll be very uncomfortable. He'll have a very severe eyeache. He'll have a headache. Have a toothache. He'll have chapped skin. He'll have rough. What's it called? Chapped. Use the word chapped. All right. So then, he'll be uncomfortable, but he'll be fully functioning, fully engaged. So then, Chazal said, then we are concerned that treating, he may end up doing the malacha of toichin. There is a Rav Waldenberger points out the Tzitzel Yezer. He points out that if you read carefully the Ran and Rashi, you'll see it's not exactly that we're choishesh for tochin alone. The lashon of the Ran is odom bol agufay v'maschel atabul bebechushav v'toich beholo yasov kol mashevsha. The Ran says that when the Gemara said that we might come to do tochin, and therefore the way that we usually understand this gezeira is k'moy shekosef, we may come to do tochin. The Ran says a little bit broader. That people, generally speaking, we get very focused on our ailments. And so if a person is not feeling well, we try hard to make ourselves feel better. So once we get involved in worrying about health, then that often moves us to different places. We start doing things that we start being very aggressive about it. So Chazal were afraid that I'll end up, if I have a very, very bad headache, I'm going to try to, how will I get rid of this headache? So I'm going to end up doing various malachas. So tochein was only one example. But mitesh adon bol al gufay. People are naturally get involved and focused on not feeling well. And the Sicily Ezra points out that the Rashi is a similar lashon. That it's not just schika samavadim. The midei de refuah, Rashi says, Gozu Barabonon, the Isharis Shum Rafua, Osil and Mishri Srika Samabanim, who is Surde Raisa. That it'll eventually lead to Srika Samabanim. In other words, we're not afraid that I'm going to, because I need this particular compound, I'm going to now grind it down. Because I'm focused on my health. And the Tzitzel Ezer points out that he thinks that is borne out by the Chayyonim as well. It seems to have a similar lashon, that if we're going to allow refuah, people will come yitu loymar. People will end up making the mistake, and they'll begin to think that other forms of treatment are also mutter. This approach of the Tzitzel Ezer responds to he cites the question, and that is that nowadays we very, very rarely do we grind any herbal compounds. When the Tzitzel Ezer wrote this many years ago, he said, and this really came from, this question was first raised in recent literature by Avraham Chaim Noah, one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim. And I forget if it was Avraham Chaim Noah or the Tzitzel Ezer who said that there are still groups amongst the Klal Yisrael that still grind medications. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael in 73, so there I was in, used to sometimes walk through a part of Yerushalayim, Givat Shul, before it was built up. Then it was a very, there were two groups, there were the Purushim and Givat Shul, and there was a vibrant Sephardi Moshav, I guess. And each one had little houses, little gardens, and when we walked around, you could smell the powerful herbs that they were raising there, and they probably made medical compounds based on it. So they both said that it's still around. Nevertheless, there are two other responses that we have to this question of that it's not done anymore. One is a classic response, and that is, Kevin Shabbatlus Yvosa Loi Balut Takanta. Chazal made a takana, and the takana still stands. And that argument is not as strong as it usually is in many cases. First of all, because there is a precedent in Masechtas Bei where Tosfos does apply bolus ibosa, perhaps bolus takanta in the case of being misake in clay shear. We're told that they're allowed to dance nowadays on Shabbos because bolus ibosa bolus takanta. That's and that Tosfos is fairly widely accepted, and we find it also Tosfos in Beis says that nowadays we don't have that we're not afraid of snakes and scorpions. We should be allowed to drink the water that stayed up that has been opened that's been mugul at night. So those are, again, how far we take that Tosfos. Or Shechter often points out, and it's written this up, that what that Tosfos is saying is that when one knows the reason for the takana, when Chazal usually did not explain their takanas, they usually announce the takanas, and then a year without reason, because they wanted people to keep them. Once you announce the reason, everybody thinks it doesn't apply to me. And then a year later, if it was a gzeira shetzibi chol lamodva, so then Chazal would announce and start teaching the reason. And if it was ein yichol lamodva, then they let the takana fall by the wayside. I told the one rabbi last week, this is a good shiur to give last week. Last week, the media was focused on poor rollout of executive orders. So it's a good shiur to give how Chazal would roll out their takana. So it was very focused how what the rollout was. So so over here, but when Chazal announced the reason together with the takana, which was rare, so then they were saying in this case, bolus ibasa, bolus takanta. That's how many svarim, many of the kadmonim, and the reshechter in more recent times explain these unusual tosasim that say that seem to advocate bolus ibasa. The reshechter points out the rav was not makabel this malach at all. That the rav thought it was very, very difficult tosas and didn't pass it accordingly. Reshechter once suggested that whenever you have a takana that goes against an important value, for example, the takana of medicine in Shabbos, which goes against Onik Shabbos, which doesn't seem to be in sync with the way Chazal say that the Bokim Tzar Loi goes away Rabban. Over here they talk about a gzeira, Dafkan Shabbos, so they had to explain themselves. And then it's also whenever you find a takana that has that the nuances are that they nuance takana. For example, Poskim discuss the idea. The Gemara says that one cannot go on a boat 3 days before Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and there are many reasons that the Rishonim give. One reason is because of seasickness. One reason is because of when we come to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos. So many Poskim say nowadays that we do allow them to go on cruises, even if it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the Poskim point out that this was a very nuanced takana, because even when the takana was made, Chazal said on a river you're allowed to go. You can't go on a boat on the high seas, but river you can't go. So you see that Chazal already didn't say it was a loy plug takana. So once it wasn't a loy plug, that would mean that they actually gave us certain explanations. So one could argue a similar thing when it comes to this takana, that in this takana Chazal said, for example, when it comes to making eye salves. So the Gemara says, well, if you make the eye salve Erev Shabbos, so then one can be vehicle. So it could be here also that there was a nuanced takana. But Achrei Kichlois HaKol, but Baldur points out that the Sibas HaTakana is still very, very much alive. It is not a case of Batlus Sibas altogether. If you're afraid, if you learn Pshat the way that we usually learn Pshat, then I'm afraid that if I'll need a certain medicine, I'll end up grinding the medicine. So that's not Shaykh nowadays. But Rav Alderman points out that Rashi, the Ran say that if I get involved in worrying about this terrible, terrible pain, so then I'm going to end up doing whatever it takes. And I may end up doing things. I may end up making hot coffees, hot teas, and whatever, hot salves, and doing other malachis. In addition, this Mahalach explains one of the most difficult points of the Halacha. The question is, what is the din regarding medications or therapies that don't require medication? So so that seems to be a stira, even in Shulchan Aruch. Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch writes, a person has arthritis, has a pain in his hips. So then the Gemara says that you can't use any oils that would normally be used, like a vinegar rub. Why? Because it's milid refuah. Now these oils don't require toichen at all right? But they are part of the gzeira. Then the Gemara writes that that if a person that they used to make certain a wine bath for the eye. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that one can't make an oil bath because of refuah. And yet Shulchan Aruch writes in Sifem Gimel that if you have an ailment where there is no where the medical treatment does not involve medications, it involves other things, so then there's no chashash of Shema Yovei l'schok simanim. So how do you put the two together? The Shulchan Aruch seems to contradict itself. If I have an ailment that is not treated by simanim, then I can treat it on Shabbos. And the other Gemara says, if I have arthritis and I use a rub and it doesn't require simanim, I can't do it on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, Chofetz Chaim explains, that we are distinguishing between ailments that have different kinds of therapies, amongst which is a medication therapy, and an ailment for which there is no medication therapy. If I have an ailment and the only way to treat it is with physical therapy, but there is no medical treatment for it at all, if such a thing exists, I'm not sure it exists because you may always end up taking medication for pain. But let's say it's the kind of thing where it's not so painful, so I'm not going to be taking any pain medication. And the only way to deal with this that in the field of medicine is some kind of treatment that has nothing to do with medication. So then, the Mishnah Berurah says, then you would be allowed to do that medication on Shabbos. But if, let's say, a person has some kind of stiffness, he has to do some exercise for it. But it's not painful, and therefore he would not take any medication for it. So then the halacha would be that on Shabbos you're allowed to do that, because that will never lead to any kind of sechikas avamonim. On the other hand, if I have some kind of ailment and there's several different medical treatments for it, and one of them is medication and one is not medication, so then the Mishnah would say that you can't do any medical treatment for it. So based on this understanding that the Tzitzis Lezer points out, that the gezeira of Shema Yischok B'Samamonim is not a focused gezeira that I may come, if I take the Tylenol, I may come to grind down the Tylenol. No, it's that if I deal with this particular Mechush, so then I may end up Odom Bol Al Gufay, a person that gets wrapped up with it. And who knows what I'm going to do, and who knows what conclusions somebody else will think. So then, that explains that if I have an ailment, which anywhere in its in the treatment of this ailment, it may involve an Isa Deiraisa, then I shouldn't do it on Shabbos. On the other hand, if the only way that medicine ever figured out how to deal with this ailment is in something that does not require an Isa Deiraisa, so then, to that, the Gzeira that we mentioned would not apply. Now, when it comes to exactly what is this Mechush Balma, and as we said before, that if a person is Nafal and Mishka, he's a Chayla, and if a person is not Mitafkeid, if part of his body is not functioning, so then he's a Chola, and then one is allowed to take medication in Shabbos, and even the Amir Lenachri. But if one is, as the Aruch HaShulchan writes, a chole is he's mutol bamita, he's bedridden. A she'ein miyachotu letzech mipesach beis, he can't leave his house, he's homebound. In those cases, even though there's no sakana, he is a chole, he can take medication. But a bori is a person, he's a little bit shvach, he's a healthy person, he's fully functional, he has a cough, all right, but he's fully functional, he's doing everything that one normally does on a regular day. So then, that is considered to be a bori with a mechush, and shouldn't take medicine. The Tzitz Eliezer writes that he thinks if a person has severe pain, even though this pain does not make him dysfunctional, he quotes a Rabbi Yaakov and Moru Ketzia that it does have the status of a cholish. Even though he is not bedridden and doesn't allow himself to be to let go of his schedule. For example, a person has a very bad migraine. So though they are, usually a migraine means a person is not fully functional. But let's say this person is a tough guy, he works through his migraine. So then or a person has a very bad stomach ache. But he's a tough guy and he works through it. So Tzitzis Eliezer thinks that that is already considered to be that is a situation where a person can take medication in Shabbos. Ellie?
Usually a migraine comes in stages.
Yeah.
So it'll start like very little, just like a feeling, and then after like an hour it'll be full on.
Right, so it doesn't wait.
Right away.
100%. Now, whenever we say, both by sakana as well as by echola, so whatever we allow in order to prevent it from happening. A person doesn't have to wait till if they know they're on track to become a cholish shifra sakana, we don't say we'll wait to become a cholish shifra sakana, then we'll do it. No. If you know it's going to happen, even there's a chashash that's going to happen. The same thing's true with the regular chola. We don't wait till the guy is suffering. We say if we can prevent him from becoming a cholish, then yeah. Good. And same thing with medication.
That's similar to what we said last week about the broken bone, maybe you'll lose a limb.
Correct. Correct.
Don't wait, you just...
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. Now, the nature... This svara was raised in another context. Let's say, this I just had this last week, that a person, Rahmanul Islam, is having problems having a child. So there are different tipulim that we do. The person's not a chola, l'chara. So one of the tipulim that's required is various, that the woman has to take various medications in order to build up the egg production. So that protocol will span over Shabbos as well. So l'chayra, what I said before, that she's not a chola, that's not correct. L'chayra, she's a chola, because that means that because part of her body is not functioning the way that we expect the bria to function. The Chelkas Yaakov, of Yaakov Breish, apparently was, what he discusses, he took this position, so apparently he was heavily criticized for it, and said, no, she's not a chola right now. So Yaakov Breish said the following, he said that, Mimonim Shach, if you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me this woman is a healthy woman, she can't have children, Rahman al Islam. So, you're going to tell me that is, you're going to tell me that's not even like a Sakonis Aver. So then he says, so then what she's doing is not medicine. It's Mimonoshach. If you're going to tell me, I think that a woman who's can't have a child is in the category of a holy shame or sakana, because that means that the bria is not functioning the way we expect the bria to function. And therefore, since she's a chola, she can take medication. She said, but if you're going to tell me she's not a chola, then what she's doing is not medicine. So it's also me mutter. That was his, but he made a very strong case that he thinks that it should be considered. A woman should be considered to be a chola in that case, because you see that halacha expects that some say that even a woman is mitzvah in the mitzvah shevas. That's a machlokes, and the Gemara speaks about a woman who wants to have a child so that she has support, so to speak. She wants to, she has the natural nurturing of a child. So all of these things show that that is the, that's the derech habriyah. And similarly, have a argument by Rav Nevinsal. Sounds a little bit funny in a modern context. But David Sal says he allows women to use, allows certainly a girl. He says a girl in the age of Shiduchin is allowed to use various medications for any facial tzaim, anything, any facial pimples or things like that. He says because the derech habriya is that a woman via her demeanor and presentation is able to present herself a certain way. So if she can't present herself a certain way, that means that Eva is not mitafkein the way that it's supposed to be mitafkein. So Eva says therefore that'd be a reason why she should be able to put on any kind of medication to deal with those kinds of things. What is the nature of the Isser itself? So it seems that Chazal prohibited for a person who's not well to take medication. Okay? Now, what happens if a person who's not well wants to do something which is not seen as medication? A person has a terrible cold. And whenever he has a terrible cold, he loads up on vitamins. He drinks oranges morning to night. I mean, orange juice and tea and grapefruits. So what he's doing is what any healthy person does. He wouldn't call it grapefruit medicine. He wouldn't call it hot tea medicine. On the other hand, right now, he is a chola, and the reason why he hates the oranges, but he's doing it only now because he's got to get the vitamin C inside. So the halacha is, Mishnah and Sifkat Nayin Zayin, that if it's a ma'achol b'riyim, so Chazal, something that healthy people eat, then Chazal didn't make that aser. Chazal only asered for a chol to take medication. But if a chol wants to eat something that people, that is not clearly seen as a form of medication, so then that would be mutter. And similarly, go ahead.
The matter that people take all kinds of multivitamins every single morning.
Yeah.
They're considered healthy.
Yeah, vitamins is a wide machlokes, a poskim, exactly how to view vitamins. There are those who've argued that vitamins are not not medication. I think Rav Hirschler argued that, maybe even Rav Yaakov Minetsky, I'm not sure. Both Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman argued that that some vitamins are medications. So Rav Shlomo Zalman argued that if the medication is in response to something that I am missing. For example, I'm low in iron, so I'm taking it to build up my iron. Or I'm low in, let's say, vitamin D. So Shlomo Zalman might say, I mean, those are very different, vitamin D and iron. So Shlomo Zalman would say, well, that means I'm taking it, I'm a chol, and I'm taking it to fix up the bria, so to speak. But if I am in a multivitamin protocol, I'm not taking it to address a certain deficiency, so then that would be machol briyim. And I believe Rav Moshe is the opposite. He says, if I'm taking it to provide something which I should normally have, I should normally get it through spinach, through eating kale, eating and I don't do it because I'm afraid of bugs or something. So therefore, I'm deficient. He says, so that means that this vitamin is just being mashal my diet. It's food. But if I it's not that I'm missing something. I just think that I'm supposed to have a certain level of vitamin E is very good for memory. Heard vitamin whatever it is. So then Rav Moshe thought that then that's machol briyim. So they almost argue in opposite fashions. Lemaisa, coming back to your question, is that if a person is taking anything and it's prophylactic, if it's not in response to some kind of machla, so it's mutter in Shabbos. It's mutter to take something which I'm taking just so I don't become ill. And that makes a lot of sense, because the concern over here is on a ball gufay. So if I'm not feeling well, I'm afraid I'm gonna work hard, but I'm feeling fine. But I'm one of these guys who reads the latest FDA reports. So whatever is in, that's what I do. So now I start pumping up on some supplement, because that's what the latest research suggests, that I feel good. So l'chari, that's not medicine anyways. L'chari, that's mutter anyways. To take medicine, the Gemara says, Shachar Paskins, if I put on a band-aid so something won't get infected, that's mutter. Because I'm putting on something to prevent a machla. If I have an infected wound and I start treating it, so then it's true that an infection already is a chashash sakana, because it can get. But let's say I have something infected and the doctor says that this is bechlal, not a problem. It's totally surface, it won't go anywhere. Right? So then I wouldn't treat it. But if if I take something to prevent, but to put on a band-aid, so that I will not get infected, that's mutter in Shabbos. So here also, to have, if a person has high cholesterol and they take a certain medication to bring the cholesterol down, so that would be a refuah. And if not taking it in Shabbos could have a negative impact on his health, then that's a sakana. But if not taken one day will not impact at all, so then that's medication. Right? On the other hand, if a person decides to take a certain drug because he's never been diagnosed with high cholesterol, whatever, the Fal Barosh had a chalem alayla to worry about high cholesterol, or all of his members of the family have high cholesterol, but he doesn't have it, he says, a minute, let me get ahead of the... So then that would be mutter in Shabbos, because that's not medicine. It makes sense, because he's not Baal Gufay.
What category would EDD medication fall into?
What?
EDD medication?
So, Lanias Daiti, in most cases, that would be mutter, because without it, the person is a whole. In other words, it's not fully functional.
Even though he's not bedridden.
Even though what?
Even though he's not bedridden.
Right, but it means that he's not mitafkei. That is not usually it means that they can't concentrate. They can't. It's hard for them to sit at the sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for them to sit in shul. So that means that they're not. That is the same thing as being bedridden, just the opposite. Right. So let's say a person can't fall asleep. So we say that's also, then they can take medicine to fall asleep. You say, what do you mean? That's proof for cares? The point of Nafal Mishka means that they can't function properly. Right? So if a guy can't fall asleep, he's supposed to be sleeping now. He can't fall asleep, so tomorrow he's going to be a zombie. So then, it's the same thing over here. I think that these medications, they make a person metafkid the way the Bria is supposed to, the way we expect it. So that should be mutter. Besides, when you get out of the rhythm of these, it can have a disaster effect. What about a woman who's on the contraceptive pill? So lechora, she's not a chayula, right? So she should be mutter. Has any problem with that? Forget it. If she goes off her pill, and she may end up having some kind of bleeding, and then she'll be, might be the equivalent of nafal mishka. But otherwise, it's not a refuah. So again, so we're saying that a chola cannot take a refuah. A chola can take something which is called machal briyim, and there's a machlaikas achronim whether a healthy person can take a medicine. For example, let's say a guy likes lozenges. So assuming it's a lozenge that really nobody, whatever, it's not one of these that maybe people, some people like the taste, but no one likes his taste. And so the Magen Avraham says, if he's taking it for some reason, that it sounds like from the Magen Avraham that would be us. Others disagree with the Magen Avraham but the Magen Avraham says a Bori should also not take something which is clearly indicated as medicine. Good. Now, there are numerous leniencies that are important to be aware of when it comes to medicine on Shabbos. So one leniency is if take it with a shinoi. Another leniency is if it's been taken already from Erev Shabbos. So let's evaluate both of those kulas. The first kula is, does the shinoi help? So the Ksois HaChoshen, Rabbi Chaim Noah, held that if you take the shin, if you mix the, it have a medicine, so if you mix it with some kugel, or you mix it with some kind of dessert, and you have with applesauce, all right, so then that's mutter. Because what's it based on? The Gemara says that if a person has some kind of eye salve, so if he prepared the eye salve before Shabbos, then he's allowed to put the eye salve on Shabbos. And the Ksais HaChoshen understood that was because he was doing it in an unusual way. Normally you prepare the eye salve by putting it on, then you put it on. Here he prepared it Erev Shabbos. So that is that a correct conclusion of that Gemara? Shevet HaLevi says that it has to be that kind of a shinoi, where one has done the preparation Erev Shabbos. That kind of a shinoi is Rav Moshe writes, a little bit broader. It has to be a shinoi in the way that the medicine is prepared. And probably the Hezra Dover is that by doing some kind of a shinoi, I will not remind myself the Shabbos, and I can't get too involved. But both Ravos and Rav Moshe thought that to expand that to any kind of shinoi in taking the medicine, so that I guess dilutes the whole gezerah to begin with. Now it's against machlokes, it's in the Rabbanon, whether a shinoi in its preparation, or a shinoi done in its preparation Erev Shabbos, so that is accepted. A shinoi that's done with the medication in the manner in which it's being taken is a machlokes of the Gedolei Posk. What about, go ahead.
On Shabbos, if one didn't prepare for Shabbos before Shabbos, if one took it in a shinoi, that was a machlokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any way to do it with the shinoi preparing it on Shabbos? Or that's the same?
That depends on the revelation. Sounds like that would be okay, yeah. Yeah. And then there is something that is often discussed, that if you began taking the medicine before Shabbos, you can continue to take the medicine on Shabbos. So that is one of these ideas that floats around. And Rav Waldner writes in his Tshuva that the earliest record of this he found in the Tshuvas of Shlomo Kluger. It's usually referred to, I think, as the Kul of the Mincha Shabbos. Mincha Shabbos was a sefer written in Mincha Shabbos in the, I think, in the early part of the 20th century, I think. But Rav Waldner found that it was in the Tshuvas of Shlomo Kluger. Now, Shlomo Kluger himself was not in favor. He himself writes, Margala b'fumi d'inshe, dim kvar v'schil asoik m'refus kodim Shabbos. That if you began taking, I heard this many times as a kid, as long as you began taking the medicine before Shabbos, you can take it right there on Shabbos. You keep on going. What is that based on? Where does it come from? So he writes, lo nodat minay yotzalem, I don't know where it comes from. So he thinks that it all comes from, he thinks it comes from the Gemara that says, that if a person has a Band-Aid and the Band-Aid falls off, then one's allowed to put the Band-Aid back on Shabbos. So he says, why should that be mutter? The Band-Aid fell off. Now, if I'm putting it back on because I want to protect the wound, all right? But it sounds like that from that Gemara that the Ritiyah was actually advancing the therapy, the medicine. So he says, he thinks that's where it came from. Since the Gemara says, as long as the Band-Aid was on from before Shabbos, so then one is allowed to put it back on Shabbos. So he thinks that that's where the Shlomo Kluger thinks, that's where the idea came from, that if one began with Od Yom, so then it would be Mutter on Shabbos as well. And Shlomo Kluger himself is not a fan of this idea, because he says it could be that this that Gemara was referring to a solve that was fully prepared on Erev Shabbos. And this was not the normal way. So it was some kind of shinoi. And this will remind the person not to do Sikha Samvanim. But he says if it's the normal kind of the normal protocol of medicine, so the fact that I took it yesterday, why should that change? Why should that mean that now that today I'm any less prone to get involved and do Sikha Samavanam? So Shlomo Kluger himself says is not a fan of this particular kula. Rav Waldenberg himself thinks that there might be some credibility to the kula, and he said it could be that it could be that the Hezbar Dover is that if I'm taking something which will not make me better today, and if I'm on some medication and it's supposed to have a result today, I'm supposed to get better. So that's, he thinks, what this idea comes from. So then I can't take it in Shabbos. But if I know it won't make me better anyways, I'm on a protocol. I need 8 days. At the end of 8 days, I feel better. So he says, so the svara is that I'm not going to get so worked up about the medicine. I'm not feeling well. No, I know that I'm not going to feel better today. That's part of the protocol. I have to take it for several days before I feel better. It has to build up in the body. So then he thought that might be where it comes from. And he said that he has a raya because he found a comment in a big book in some sefer called Kol Sofer on Mishnayos, that I don't know if he writes the name of the Rav, there was one of Talmud Chochma, but this is what the Mechamer writes, that that he met he was going to one of these baths, the Karlsbad, that means a certain bathhouse in Europe, and people used to go there primarily if they were diabetics. And they were sitting around, and what they used to do is go to the bath, and they'd also drink the water of the spa. That was how people got better. So so as they were luxuriating in the spa, they one Talmud Chacham asked the other Talmud Chacham, "What's the din about drinking? Do you make a bracha or not?" So they were discussing, "Do you make a bracha on medicine when one is not making it when it was not drinking the when it was not drinking the water for because it was thirsty. All right, so they just, and then they said, well, how come we're allowed to take this medicine on Shabbos? If it's medicine, if you have a suffix with broch on it, so why what are we doing drinking this on Shabbos? So so this mechaber writes, but maybe it's mutter because none of us expect this to make us better today. So therefore, it's not considered to be medicine on Shabbos. So Rav Alman, we thought that might be a support for this idea that the taking in an Erev Shabbos, the idea is that it's not considered to be taking medicine on Shabbos because we don't expect it to have the impact on Shabbos. Rav Schechter often quoted a comment of, I think, Rav Binyamin Zilber, one of the Goldman B'nai Brak many years ago, that Rav Binyamin Zilber thought, again, I find this very hard to understand, that the Takonas Chazal, the Luyitzer, if I would not take it in Shabbos, I would not get better. So to say the Chazal are misaking, that I should suffer a little bit, all right, that's also hard to understand. Because when Mokim Shalom goes very bottom, but you see, there are times Chazal made Xerah to fast. All right? So made Xerah here also. They thought Bishom Erech Shabbos, that it was important to suffer a little bit. Good. But the Chazal would make it a kana that I shouldn't ever be able to get better. So that, hard to imagine that that's when Chazal say, Vimokim Tzali goes Ve Rabbanon, and that they would even go as far as to say that this person has to be forever sick. So Benjamin Zubay thought that's the Hezbar Dover, that if a person has a protocol and it has to be taken every single day, it has to be taken on Shabbos. So then it's hard to imagine that Chazal made it to Kodesh and never able to get better. But if on the other hand it's a protocol that if I miss Shabbos I'm going to be fine, so the fact that I began taking every of Shabbos, that in itself would not be a tzadlaka. So again, a Yetzimi calls there with respect to this Shmuah, that Erev, if I began taking an Erev Shabbos, then I can take it through Shabbos. So Rav Moshe thinks that it is not a well-founded kula, and one should not adopt it. Rav Waldenberg thinks it's not a well-founded kula, but one can use it as a tziruf for other kulos. If the person needs to take a medicine on Shabbos, and they're obviously very, very uncomfortable, they're almost mitzar. So he thinks that he can mitzaref those who hold that bodlusi bosel of the kanta, and then be mitzaref the ones who hold that and began taking erev Shabbos and carve out enough ground that one can be made of. And yeah, go ahead.
What about if a person, for example, is if you're doing like a bone marrow donation, and
yeah,
the healthy donor, they have to increase that person's stem cells by whatever, like through different injections or whatever. Would that person be allowed to do those on Shabbos? Because it's not, they're really healthy, it's not really for them.
Right, but the question is that really a refuah? Once again, I'm a healthy person, Baruch Hashem, and now I'm trying to pump up my, I had that question just last week with a woman. It's a woman who wants to store her eggs, and she's not married, but she doesn't want, she's getting on in years, and she wants to be able to make sure she can have her own children. So she'll get married, but she'll get married soon, Mir Tashem. But the eggs that she has when she's younger are healthier eggs than what she's going to have when she's older. So she wants to be able to store her eggs. But before doctors harvest eggs, they will always build up the egg supply and make sure that the ovary almost over supplies eggs. Because they figure once they're doing the procedure, they get as many eggs as possible. So the question was, can the woman have the injections which pump up the production? So the question amongst the Rabbanim was the twofold question. Number one, can you have the injection? So I thought that injections are injections are, what's the problem having injection? What could be the problem?
Making yourself bleed.
So if it's a, if it's an injection that goes into the vein, so then doctors will often pull back a little bit of blood to make sure that they're in the vein. So that post can write, when you pull back that blood, you want to see that blood. So that's dosh, and that's letzarech gufa, because you want to see the blood. But if you don't want the blood, so in this case, you don't want the blood, these are subcutaneous, they don't go into the bloodstream, they go into the muscle, into the flesh, into the fat. So, first of all, I thought they don't always bleed. There's a dovish in Muscovy. Even if it does bleed, it would be, might be a double rabbanon. Why? Because it's a malacha she'ein esrich l'guf. I don't want the dam at all. Right? So it's dosh. And if it's dosh, and I don't want the dam, it's b'chal nadosh. If it's teveya and tils neshama, I don't want the blood b'chal. So it's certainly esrich l'gufa. So it's what's the one rabban. Right? I think it's a dosh in Meskav, it's mutter. But even if you're going to argue that's what's, and then the question is, it's one rabbanon, so we're only making one of Mechola. And we're shifting over to from Malacha, so the, from Malacha perspective, so she a Chola. She's a healthy woman, she wants to be able to kind of this for later on. And same thing, is this, would this be a form of refuah? So I thought it wouldn't be a form of refuah either, because she's not a chayla. It's not done necessarily for chayla, necessarily. The question is, can we make on one derabbanan? There is a if you hold that it's not a derush miskaven. So there is some derabbanan. If you hold it, it's a refuah. So I pointed out what Chelkas Yaakov says of a woman who's having trouble having children. That he says that Gemara says that a woman wants to have children naturally, and she wants to have children when she's older, and she wants to. So the maybe this puts a person without children in the category of a chola. Maybe again, there it's different because there was, she couldn't have children, therefore you could say the ovary was not mitafkein over here. A healthy woman, Baruch Hashem. She's terribly unfortunate. She can't have children. So the Minchas Yitzchak, he says, Yitzchak Weiss, based on the Ramban, that whenever something is a tzorach mitzvah, Chazal were makel and shvus to shvusin, that's one, and Chazal were also makel and Igzeira to Rabbanon. He has a raya from Ramban. That a gezera is less chomer than a shvus to shvus. So if you can make a shvus to shvus, you can make a gezera. So here, by any gezera tzrik samamonim should be mutter l'tzarech mitzvah. So refuah should be mutter l'tzarech mitzvah. So lachar, in order to help a woman get married later on, she want to have children. Help her have children. That is enough of a mitzvah to be makel on refuah. I thought. I thought also that even if you hold it, that the blood coming out is, even if you hold it, it's not a davshen miskaven, but it's richla gufa, it's a drabbanon. So the reposkum would say that a psik ration in the drabbanon is mutl tzarech mitzvah. So what's the tzarech mitzvah here? So again, to have a child, lachar, even though I'm not married, if I want to have a child when I get married. So lachar, that is in the category of a mitzvah because. Because you can say because the rabbon in the din of Shabbos, because the Gemara says that a wife is misayeya to her husband to have children, it's also part of the mitzvah. But it'll help her get married. That's really the mitzvah. The Ibn Chasitzak used that svara to permit taking medications that help a person have owner in Shabbos. The Bayagra family, because he said that was according to some, that's not called the chali, it's not called the refuah. That's one mahalach that some have. That's the category of the vitamins. According to others, no, it is it's a deficiency, and this is a medicine that takes care. So the mincha says, but it's a medicine that's a tzorach mitzvah, to have ona. And he holds that the mitzvah, that the shikah samamanim, the iser, was relaxed with tzorach mitzvah. Why? Because he holds that every shvus to shvus is relaxed tzorach mitzvah. He's arrived from Ramban, that exera the Rabbanon, it was imposed in a lighter way than the shvus to shvus. Okay, so we'll have a mincha downstairs. And next week, I think we'll start the next set of shiurim on Mir Yaakov. Okay, good. Shkoyach for being here despite the incoming weather. Yeah.